Thank you for the introduction. Thank you for everybody for coming out. So my name is Ron Townsend. I'm going to be presenting my research on dollar spot severity and oxalic acid production affected by nitrogen fertilization. So as Cameron mentioned earlier this morning, dollar spots caused by the pathogen Sclerotinia homeocarpa. And this disease can be a real problem on golf courses in the Great Lakes region due to its wide temperature range in which infection can occur. Because this temperature range is so large, fungicides are heavily relied upon by golf course superintendents to control this disease. Now, fungicides are used for two reasons. One, for the infection range, but also because cultural practices are not well known as to their exact role on dollar spot severity. However, research has been done looking at nitrogen rates. So dollar spot has long been associated as a low nitrogen disease. And previous research does provide results to this as well, showing that high nitrogen rates do lower dollar spot severity. Not only do nitrogen rates reduce dollar spot severity, but also nitrogen source as well, particularly ammonium sulfate, suggesting that there is a potential for a pH effect on the pathogen. Now, oxalic acid is a molecule produced by Sclerotinia homeocarpa and is a noted virulence factor by the pathogen. Not only in Sclerotinia homeocarpa, but also in Sclerotinia sclerotiorum, oxalic acid is produced as well. And in Sclerotinia sclerotiorum, it's been noted that oxalic acid production by the pathogen can be affected by pH. So some of the questions about the previous research looking at nitrogen applications made in small frequent quantities in particular. Typically referred to as a spoon feeding method, at least in the golf course world. Also looking at foliar applications chosen specifically for their effect on pH has also been lacking, as well as the role that oxalic acid plays in Sclerotinia homeocarpa in particular. So in order to answer these questions, we selected three, we had three objectives. One was to analyze these nitrogen application rates made in a small frequent quantity over the entire course of the growing season. Two was to evaluate different nitrogen sources based on their effect on pH, also done in a spoon feeding method or making applications repeatedly over the course of the entire season, as well as to investigate oxalic acid production by the pathogen when exposed to different pHs as well. So in order to answer those questions, we designed three separate trials. Our first trial is looking at nitrogen application rate, where we selected four different nitrogen applications rates, ranging from 1/10 of a pound all the way to 6/10 of a pound. And those treatments were then tested against a non-treated control as well as a fungicide program specifically designed as a program that is frequently used in the Great Lakes region to control the disease. This trial was conducted from over 2015 to 2017 at two locations, both at the O.J. Knorr Turfgrass Research Facility in Verona, Wisconsin, as well as North Shore Country Club in Glenview, Illinois. The trial was designed as a randomized complete block with four replications, with applications being made every 2 weeks. The data that we collected included infection centers, percent disease cover, turf quality, and normalized difference vegetation index, or NDVI. That data was collected every 14 days, as well as foliar nitrogen content, which was collected every month. For the sake of time today, I will only be going over infection center data for our field trials as well. So in order to answer the nitrogen source questions, we chose three nitrogen sources based on their effect on pH. Calcium nitrate having a basic effect on pH, while ammonium sulfate having a very acidic effect on pH, as well as ammonium nitrate having a relatively neutral effect on pH. Now in 2015 and 2016, these nitrogen applications were applied at the same rate, 2/10 of a pound per thousand every 2 weeks. And then in 2017, that rate was then increased, and I'll get more, or I will talk about that and why we did that later on in the presentation as well. So this trial was again conducted at the same two locations, both in Wisconsin and in North Shore Country Club in Illinois, And the trial is a randomized complete block with four applications. And again, applications are made every 2 weeks. The data that we collected throughout this trial were infection centers, percent disease cover, foliar pH, turf quality, and NDVI. And again, ratings were taken every 14 days during this trial as well. And lastly, looking at oxalic acid production, particularly in vitro, we selected two isolates, one from a golf course fairway in Wisconsin, as well as another isolate from the collection at NC State University. These two isolates were then grown in potato dextrose broth at two different pHs, both at 7 and 4, at an incubation temperature of 23 degrees Celsius, and they were allowed to be shaken during that time, until which there were three sampling points of 48, 72, and 96 hours, in which data that was collected included pH change of the PDV, as well as fungal biomass growth, and oxalic acid was also measured, and this was done using a Trinity Biotech oxalate kit as well. So again, for the sake of time, the field data, I will only be going over infection center numbers, and that was calculated using area under disease progress curve to show the effect of the individual treatments over the entire growing season. Our data was analyzed using SASP 9.3 using a proclimix procedure as well. So on to our results. So high nitrogen rates do reduce dollar spot severity. However, we do not see a dose-dependent reaction with increasing our nitrogen rates. So, ranging from a tenth of a pound to 4/10 of a pound, we see no significant difference in dollar spot severity between each of these nitrogen rates, as well as we do not see a significant difference between our non-treated control. It's not until our highest rate of nitrogen at 6/10 of a pound biweekly that we see a significant reduction in dollar spot severity. And this trend occurred over all three years of the trial in particular. So this is data from North Shore Country Club in 2017. And the same trend occurred at the OJ Noor up in Wisconsin this past year as well, where again we see that our nitrogen rates, we do not decrease, or at our different nitrogen rates, we do not see a step down effect until we get to our high rate of nitrogen, which we see a significant drop in dollar spot severity. Interestingly enough, our data from 2016, we did actually see the same level of significance between our highest nitrogen rate and our fungicide program, which by looking at this picture from 2017, we see that our high nitrogen rate over here on the left compared to our high nitrogen rate at 6/10 of a pound compared to our 4/10 of a pound of nitrogen rate over on the right, we see that there's a lot more dollar spot, and just you can see by our pressure, this area in between is our alleyways, and we can see other dollar spot treatments surrounding it as well. Now looking at nitrogen sources, from 2015 to 2016, our nitrogen application rate was 2/10 of a pound biweekly, and we did not see a significant difference between either of the any of the nitrogen sources. Not only did we not see a significant difference between our nitrogen sources, but we also did not see a difference between our sources and the non-treated control. This also correlates to what we've seen in our nitrogen rate study, where at 2/10 of a pound, we were not getting any disease control. So this past year, we increased the nitrogen rate to a known rate that will control nitrogen. And what we see is that, again, we have no difference in nitrogen sources, but we do see a decrease in nitrogen a decrease in dollar spot severity based on the nitrogen rate that is applied. So in 2017, the rate was increased to 6/10 of a pound biweekly. And again, we can see that our nitrogen sources do have significance level between our non-treated control, but between one another, they do not significantly differ from one another. So from North Shore in 2017, what we can see is that our non-treated control over in the bottom corner compared to our different nitrogen sources, We see a little bit of differences between our nitrogen sources, but over the course of the entire year, this trend did not continue. So while we did not see an effect on pH in the field, in the lab we did see an effect on pH, particularly when the isolates were grown at the different pHs. So again, we had two isolates that we used at a pH of 7 and a pH, we had two isolates. 29F2-1 was a isolate from Wisconsin. ML715 is a isolate from the North Carolina State University collection. And these two isolates were grown at two different pHs, both at 7 and at 4. And when the two isolates were grown at a pH of 7, we see a significant reduction in pH of the PDB over our sampling windows. Now when we compare those same isolates at a pH of 4, we see relatively no increase nor decrease in ambient pH of the PDB over the same time period. Now while we do not see an increase and or decrease in pH at the pH of 4, we actually see that correlates with oxalic acid production, where we see more oxalic acid is being produced at a pH of 7 compared to our same isolates at a pH of 4. So while we're seeing a decrease in pH at a pH of 7, it's also correlating with an increase in oxalic acid production. And again, those same isolates at a pH of 4 have relatively no oxalic acid being produced at those same pHs. Now, what does that mean for our actual biomass accumulation? We see that we're actually increasing fungal biomass at these lower pHs compared to our pHs at 7. So we have more oxalic acid being produced at a pH of 7, but we have less biomass being produced. And vice versa, we have more biomass being produced at a lower pH, but we have less oxalic acid being produced. So this is our kit from Trinity Biotech, and we can see our standard curve over on the left. And the presence of a blue color change is oxalic acid present. And then our same isolates grown at a pH of 4 have a relatively translucent color. And then our same isolates grown at a pH of 7 have a blue hue to them, showing the presence of oxalic acid. So finally, in summary, we see that higher nitrogen rates do reduce dollar spot severity in a spoon feeding program, but only when only at our highest nitrogen rate of 6/10 of a pound biweekly. We also see that nitrogen sources did not differ from one another over the 2 years, both at the high nitrogen rate where we did see control, and also at the 2/10 of a pound biweekly as well. And then lastly, oxalic acid production is greater when grown at a neutral pH, but fungal growth is greater when exposed to an acidic environment. So the implications of this research is fungicide availability may become reduced in the future. This could potentially provide golf course superintendents a new tool to add into their arsenal to try to control dollar spot severity, as well as understanding Sclerotinia homeocarpa. Understanding the role of oxalic acid in Sclerotinia homeocarpa could provide tools for future researchers to manipulate that pathway in order to control the disease. So some of the future work, we would like to look at shortening the spray intervals between these nitrogen applications instead of going biweekly, going weekly. And then also we would like to evaluate the pathogenicity of Sclerotinia homeocarpa at various pHs to see what sort of effect that has as well. Finally, I'd like to thank my committee members and then all the allied associations both in Wisconsin and Illinois. So
time for one question.
So the question was, why did we choose those particular isolates? We didn't really have a particular reason. They were two isolates that we had in stock. And from previous research from a former PhD student, those were two isolates that she had used in the past. So there was no real particular reason. It was more about the replication between the different isolates and why we chose them.
All right, thanks, Rob.